the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip. Gotta listen and to hear what Max is dishing. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
Well, hello there, LA Talk Radio listeners. You've got Greg and Tamara Montana here with you this week. Max is out still enjoying himself, so we've got his back here at LA Talk Radio, and Ronan on the producing end in the background here. So we're grateful to be with you guys here again this week, and we're always talking about the hottest, latest, greatest thing in relationships and what makes them thrive, what makes them work, what makes them dynamic, what makes them dance in a way that you're not stepping on each other's toes.
The fact is, we tied Max up and we put him in the closet because we like doing the show. So we'll let him loose when we're done. Max, if you're listening, we're just kidding. So
yeah.
Relationships is the hot topic for the night. So we want to talk about the triangle tonight.
Yes, the triangle.
And we're very grateful to Max for the opportunity to do that because we've had so much success in our relationship. You know, relationships can be very difficult and challenging, and the triangle makes it easier. So what is the triangle?
Well, the triangle is something that has worked really well for Greg and I, even with all the challenges and the struggles and the, you know, the heartache that does come into a relationship. As you're learning how to dance, there's always going to be those melding of two bodies, two thought systems, two different backgrounds coming together in an attempt to create something brand new. And I tell you, for us in the triangle, when God being the top point of that triangle, we really believe that the closer we are individually to God, the closer we end up being with each other. And whatever higher power, whatever universal intelligence, whatever source it is that you tap into to ponder, to contemplate your life and why you're here and the career choices or parental choices or spouse, partner, lover choices that you make in life, if we're connected to an unending source, to me, it's the difference between either we're just taking spoonfuls from an ocean or we're tapping into some valve inside of an ocean. We're swimming in an ocean of love that permeates our entire experiences in relationships, or we're cut off from that. And there tends to be much more of a struggle when we're cut off from something much deeper, something far greater that is aware of what is available and lives inside that world of infinite possibilities and has actually created a space for us to experience that in. So that's what Greg and I are doing.
And, you know, I know Tamara is going to be talking a lot about the triangle. I'm going to dive right in and say, if you don't have a third leg on the table of your relationship, just the two of you, you're sunk. And so I'm going to just take a bold stand with that. And I'm going to ask you to actually just take a look at your past relationships. When you relied on the relationship working because of just the two of you, and this is what it's like. Imagine a person trying to climb another person, okay? So you got one person, doesn't matter if they're tall or short, another person is literally like trying to climb them like a mountain. And then imagine that the other person starts trying to climb the person that's trying to climb them like a mountain. And get a visual of that. What would that look like? Two people that are trying to climb each other like they're a mountain. Okay? Now, if you don't get a vision of absolute chaos, can't imagine what you're getting. But try now to imagine two people trying to climb a mountain together. So you've got an actual mountain, and the two people say, I'm going to commit to you that I've got your back climbing this mountain. and we're going to get this stuff together, and we're going to stick together, and we're going to tie each other to each other, and I'm going to climb up, and then I'm going to pull you up, and then you're going to climb up and pull me up, and we're going to make it to the top of this mountain together. And this is the huge myth of relationships, is that relationships are about two people. They are not. And when there's only two people in a relationship, you are sinking. And likely, it's not going to last. But if you can figure out what is that mountain, what is that third leg on the table? So imagine a table with two legs. That's how most people try to do relationships. And they don't understand, like, why doesn't this thing stand? Why is it always hitting the ground? A table with two legs will not stand. And if it's just the two of you, it won't stand. And I've seen relationships work because the third leg of the table is because the two people commit to work on real estate together. I've seen it work because they say we're gonna raise kids together. I've seen it work because they say, you know, we're going to have a God-centered relationship, or we're going to rely on our higher power, or we're going to focus on, you know, Tamara and I originally got together because we were committed to relationships and we wanted to see those relationships work. So one of the things that we spend a lot of time on is working on our relationship, and we create the tools. I mean, we have worked the tools that we share with you guys.
And that's like, because we've fallen so many times. Yeah. We've fallen, and it's everything within us to get back up and say, okay, what's going to work? What can we let other people know is possible?
And if you guys have any questions at all, please call 323-203-0815. We're open for callers tonight. If you like what we say, if you don't like what we say, please just call in, let us know. And what Tamara and I have really experienced, and we have tension, but the thing that gets us off of it every single time is when we commit to the vision, the top of the mountain, because Tamara and I have a very, very similar vision, and it's always a beautiful vision of coming together, and I paint the picture regularly for Tamara. I am so looking forward to when we are hobbling old people, with our canes, holding hands together. And you guys have seen that scene on the street, little old couple that's still holding hands as they hobble down the street, and they've got a friendship that transcends romance, that transcends marriage, it transcends the years of difficulty, because they know that they had each other's back and they're still together and they worked through things together. And it's a beautiful vision that both Tamara and I share. And we do rely on, you know, God is our higher power. We like to call that the third leg of our table, and we don't tell people that you have to. But one of the things we have found is for instance, the third leg of your table is your children, and you say, well, we're going to raise children, and that's going to be why we came together, and it's all about family and all about children. Take a look at what happens when the children grow up and move out of the home. If you don't have another third leg to replace the children with, things can get pretty difficult. So what we'd love to do this evening is to share with you some of the things that have to do with the third leg of the table that we've discussed tonight, and that Tamara and I have been talking about.
Oh, and why don't you say a little bit more about your point of the... What did you mean by climbing on top of each other? What was that?
Well, just get an image. Two people alone trying to rely on the other person. So one person says, you know, oh, you're it, and I found you, and now life's going to start working out, and it's like the Disney movie, you know, and they lived happily ever after. So when one person finds the other person and they become the source of their fulfillment, instead of the source of their fulfillment is heading in a direction together, in having a common vision, in having a common, you know, I mean, just imagine two people facing each other in an argument, and all of a sudden they're distracted and say, well, wait a minute, we got to climb this mountain together. They're immediately side by side now, instead of facing off, like their energy is all locked up because they're facing off. So if you imagine, you know, I mean, it's a ridiculous visual that one person is trying to climb the other person, like literally just jump up and get on top of their shoulders, because that's how they're going to raise themselves up in life, is through the relationship. And then the other person tries to climb them while they're climbing them. I mean, it's an insane visual. But when two people say, let's climb the mountain together, and they're standing side by side, and they're headed for a vision together, and one doesn't get way ahead of the other, or if they do, they stop and wait, and they're caring for each other along the way, and they're sharing their resources and feeding each other and making sure each other's warm. And that's the beauty of relationships. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Well, I just had a beautiful vision of having a magic carpet ride, you know, come by on along that side of that mountain, picking, having both of us up and effortlessly soaring, you know, taking rides, climbing, taking respites, and beautiful dreams of the happily ever after, because I do believe in that. I do believe that there is, you know, an element of truth to what we heard growing up in storybooks. And the way to do that, I believe, is tapping into, you know, the third entity, that for us, really tapping into what God had originally designed, which is not separate or different than anything we could have ever dreamed of, because of us being His creation, because of being, you know, the creation of this whole human experience on the planet. You know, what is the point? What is it all for? How are we evolving? How are we better people inside of our relationships that give a trickle-down effect into the world? Because I do believe that when you experience healing with one person that has your back, I believe there's a ripple effect in the universe, in the world, that gives hope and possibility for everybody else to live in that parallel universe, that parallel existence that says, I see you, and this isn't going to be a struggle, and I don't have to use you to get there, but I'm going to take you along with me. I'm going to take you by my side, and we're going to ride magic carpet rides together, and we'll climb together, and we'll take respites, and we'll live the dream, because the dream is within us.
And would you say, Tamara, that our relationship has worked the best when we are really clear that we're headed in the same direction and the vision is clarified, and that our relationship has gone through some bumps and twists and turns when one of us finds out that the other one is like, wait a minute, so you're not sharing the same exact vision as me, and you got to kind of stop and get together and just talk about it. Would you agree with that?
I believe that, yes, definitely, when the original intent is shared and the question comes up in the how, when we go to source for how, what the how is, and we stay open, we're not always going to know what's around the corner. But I think that's where faith comes in. And sometimes the vision is clear and sometimes it's not. But what can be clear is that you have each other's back. And that you can be in it together. And that it can be a surprise around the next bend, around the next corner, around the rock of discovery and adventure. That at least when the plan and is together, whatever surprises come along the way, it's just a bonus.
Right. And so one of the best things to do is to sit down and to say, okay, what is our relationship going to be about? What is this relationship going to be about us working on together? Or what's it going to be about us heading for together so that I know what I'm working on that's in common with what you're working on? Because if you imagine the two people heading in two different directions, he's got a vision for you know, his own personal evolution and wants to, you know, free himself up to be able to watch football all day, and she's got a vision of raising the kids, and the two of them are constantly holding that vision in front of each other. You got two people that are heading, one's heading northeast and the other one's heading northwest, and they're getting further and further apart. So the vision, if you think about it, say two people said, all right, we're headed to whatever, we're headed toward a relationship that is 100% free of any form of angst, where we are like dancing on the dance floor in everything we do in life, and our communication is silent and we have each other's back. And that's a visual that you can actually define at a place and a time, and what we're going to do and how we're going to achieve that. That's what I believe. And like Tamara said, it doesn't matter the how. That's where the relationship, that's where people dance, is what's the how. But the vision has got to be something that you both agree on. And it doesn't have to be a vision necessarily like 5 years from today, you know, clearable, attainable, definable. But it's got to be something that, that says, you know what, we're in this together. And friendship is going to be the core of our marriage. Or raising the children, creating family. Family is going to be the core of our marriage. Or we're most committed to doing missions, and that's going to be the core of our marriage. Whatever that one thing is, and I know for Tamara and I, it really is relationships. The thing that we are so committed to is working on marriage and perfecting it. And just recently, we've had some huge breakthroughs where both of us have faced, you know, some insecurities and decided to trust the other person. And I just decided, I said, you know what? I'm not going to pretend anymore that Tamara is anything but the solution to my relationship concerns. Instead of, you know, well, I have this vision for a relationship and she's in the way of it, or I have a vision and she's not conforming, or I have a vision and, you know, why isn't she doing? I started noticing, I don't like how I feel. And if I don't like how I feel, let me give up what I'm standing for and stand for something I know she can stand for. And of recent, you know, and I Tamara will can tell you what this has been like for her. What I've been doing is really just being incredibly sincere about saying, honey, we don't have to do this any other way but working together. Now, I still get frustrated. I may raise my voice, but because I've managed to use that tone of staying really clear that the marriage is more important to me than being right. And every one of you, it's like, you know, you really got to get down to the nitty-gritty about that. Would you rather be right about how? Because there's insecurities behind being wrong. You know, we're afraid to be found wrong and be embarrassed. Or what if, you know, I mean, wait a minute, this is my childhood vision forever. And I've faced the fact that I would rather be wrong about how relationships are supposed to work and have a beautiful marriage with my wife, learning with her side by side, committing with loyalty and dedication, than to be right and having her to have to make sacrifices. So have you noticed a difference lately, Tamara, in that?
Yes, I've noticed that there is an opportunity for both of us to not ever have to sacrifice what each other wants, because there's nothing wrong with what each other wants, that the fantasy is just as good as the reality, and that's what we just heard from a very well-known therapist, Gottman, who, if you YouTube him, Gottman Therapy, just fascinating. This guy studied couples who've been together for 30 years, and one of the best definitions he ever heard of a romantic relationship was when two fantasies become a reality between the two of them. And whatever it is that we think is different than what the other person wants, when you really allow your heart to open up like a flower and to blossom into what is the root desire, and the root desire is always to be loved and to be able to love and to receive love and be able to give love, and whatever form that is for the other person, I believe in a committed marriage, we want that for the other one. I love for you to be happy. I love for you to get what you want. I don't think having you sacrifice being right in order to be loved is something you ever have to give up. You're very right in what it is that you desire. And it's not what, when we get that it's not any different than what I want, It's a beautiful exchange of what is actually possible without having the language of any kind of sacrifice anywhere.
Yeah. And I know what you mean. It's definitely, when I use the word sacrifice and talk about, you know, giving up my perspective, that's just when I come and I say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my tone. I'm sorry that somehow some point I was making was more important than being gentle and loving with you. And that is it. When you're coming up to it, it seems like a sacrifice. Like, well, are you trying to tell me I have to put my pride? Yeah, you got to swallow. You know, is your pride worth it? You know, winning. You can't win at a marriage. It's impossible to win at a marriage. And those that try to win create a loser, and if there's a winner or loser situation in a marriage, then both lose. So, you know, for me, the sacrifice is sacrificing the lesser for the greater. It's saying, all right, I'm sorry. Now, tell me, does that work? When I come to you and say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. I raised my voice, or, you know, I wasn't hearing you, and I want to hear what you have to say. Does it make a difference if I come to you and say that versus coming to you and saying, you know what, let's not do this. Let's take another tract, and I want to hear what you have to say.
No, for sure. The first thing that you said, and I'll give a very specific example that works so beautifully just not too long ago. When I was asking Greg, what would really bring a lot of security and feelings of love for me from you is if you would have my back. And I know that this has been a knot point for Greg in hearing that when he says, what do you mean have your back? You know, God has our back and there's nobody against us. And when he asked, what do you mean by that? Because I honestly, and I believe it's different for everybody, whatever definitions they give to cliches. But the cliche of having my back is being a soft place to land. That no matter what I'm feeling or no matter what is coming up for me, I'm received and accepted by my husband. I'm received and accepted by Greg. That it's okay whatever it is you're feeling. It's okay if you're sad. It's okay if you're happy. It's okay if you're in ecstasy. It's okay if you're angry. Whatever the feeling is okay.
Right. And I love that you clarified that, Tamara, because I even used the term earlier in this radio show. I said, you know, that you've got each other's back. I never would have said that before, because my read on what having each other's back meant in the past was she wants me to stand against somebody for her. That comes from my own, you know, programming, my own fears, because maybe that's something that I experienced in childhood, was that relationships were really uncomfortable because somebody tried to get me to stand against someone to prove that I was for them. So when I heard you've got my back, I just spun it into that direction. When Tamara actually sat down and explained, this is what I mean when I say you've got my back, I was like, oh, well, I can do that.
Yeah, and to me, that's just being a really good friend. That's just being a really good friend is, you know, and then people don't have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go see a therapist, because that's what they do, is they suspend judgment and they allow you to just blossom and unfold and verbally vomit if need be and not have a judgment made about whatever's inside or whatever's coming up, because whatever's coming up is always an opportunity to heal a wound. In a beautiful marriage that has each other's back, who is each other's best friend, who's walking down the street hobbling as an old couple because they really got each other. They really saw each other. And there wasn't any place they'd rather be than with each other because it felt so good.
And one of the things that, you know, I mean, every couple has things that are difficult, threatening. You know, I think one of the things that is difficult for me is when I'm feeling overburdened with, you know, responsibility, because I try to be so, you know, on top of things. Of course, you know, I've had some amazing lessons on control and how little I have, having recently Tamara and I have taken care of my mother with Alzheimer's. And boy, I'll tell you, you got control issues and you want to go through a workshop for healing that, just go take care of someone that's got Alzheimer's, because you're going to learn the difference between love and control. And the difference between being caring and being responsible, because there's not a whole lot that you can do in a situation like that except be loving and be there. And I think, I don't know, for Tamara, it seems that when she feels that I'm that in any way there's some separation between us, and I really have to say I'm completely in agreement with her that anything that causes a sense of separation is going to be construed as, you know, what the heck are you talking about? What's going on here? One of the things that I've gotten enormous mileage out of was when Tamara explained to me that through her studies with Harville Hendricks, because Tamara's a licensed psychotherapist, she's done a lot of couples counseling, and she found through some of the counseling that she's done and some of the research that she's done that Harville Hendricks was a couple that worked with thousands of couples, tens of thousands of couples, and they thought that couples were going to have to learn how to do more in a relationship, how to give more, how to bring more to the relationship. And go ahead and tell them what you discovered or what they discovered.
Well, one of the beautiful things, as they were in deep research and inquiry with a whole bunch of couples, is wanting to prove the theory that we just really do need to give more in relationships. And what they found in all of their research when they were writing this book, and even with each other, is giving more was not the problem. The problem was being able to receive the love that was present. And the love that was present was unable to be received because we didn't get what we yearned for and longed for in childhood, and attracted someone who would do the exact same thing and still yearn for it, that when they actually give us the very thing that we're craving, we'll push it away. Because somehow we decided that we weren't good enough, we weren't worthy, it meant our own certain death if we actually allowed ourselves to receive that much love into our heart.
So I want to interject something here that's just crazy, because guys have this thing, you know, to guys, Tamara knows this, got it down, that the way guys know that the relationship is working is they're having sex, is they're getting regular, you know, sex, and it feels good, you know, the relationship is pretty good in the context of having sex. Not that important for women. Women need romance. They need to be cared for, cherished. Now, here's the funny thing. Guys, I want you to hear this. That if you think, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, in a same-sex marriage, just hear this, that if you're the one that feels that in order to get more out of the relationship, you have to give more into it, it's the opposite. When I sat down and started listening to Tamara, instead of, all right, I got to make sacrifices, which is why Tamara says it's not about sacrifices. When I actually sat down and said, all right, let me receive. Tamara's trying to tell me something and I'm blocking it. I'm not willing to receive what she's giving me. So see if you can get this. If you're a man and you're in a heterosexual relationship and your wife comes to you with a frustration, that is the receiving, that if you can receive it, right behind that door is some really beautiful, passionate lovemaking. Now, you think she's coming to you with a problem, but she's not. She's coming to you saying, you know what, I really want to jump your bones, but this is how it starts out. And the way it starts out is complaint. Oh, let me hold you. Complain again. Let me hear you clearly. So let me repeat what you're saying. So this is what it sounds like. Oh, okay. So if I were to do this, that would feel better. Okay, great. And then hold her a little bit. Be tender. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. And all of a sudden, you're going to find that she opens like a flower. And this was so weird to me. Because I was thinking, I've always been told, you know what, if you want to have sex with a woman, you know, Tamara even says, women are like crock pot and men are like microwaves. You know, you got to start them in the morning if you really want to have some passion in the evening. And it starts by saying, you know, sending flowers and giving them and it's, that is not a working formula. The formula is to give love in the form of receiving what your spouse is trying to give you that you just can't hear. And it's an amazing breakthrough that opens both of you up in a relationship. So when I sat down, like literally the minute Tamara told me this, within 24 hours, the very next conversation we had that she was mildly frustrated in, just had something, and I think intuitively she felt, you know what, maybe he's able to hear it. She brought up a subject that had come up in the past, and I said, all right, this time I am not going to take this personally. I'm not even going to analyze what she's saying. I'm just going to track exactly what she's trying to give me in the form of love. How is what she's trying to give me love that if I were to receive it and see it as love, that this is the thing that I've been craving that I'm complaining she isn't giving me? And so I listened to a difficult conversation, and I think Tamara will tell you, it was a breakthrough conversation in many ways. And by the way, you know, when people feel heard on a particular subject, they don't really bring it up over and over and over again. So if you have a spouse that's repeating themselves and she's always saying this, well, I can guarantee you if she's always saying that, or if he keeps harping on this point, I can guarantee you it's because you haven't really heard it. And the reason they keep repeating it is because it's a not point for them. They can't get past that. And when you can really hear it, which takes more courage than anything I've done, to sacrifice my perspective for a moment of receiving love, to set aside this defense, my perspective, and instead say, let me just set that aside. Let me put it on, you know, and I call it a sacrifice because that's literally how it feels. All you're doing is setting it aside. But if you can do that, what comes up next is an amazing experience. I don't know if Tamara actually had the same experience, I should ask, but for me, I had a huge opening in my heart about, oh my God, that's what she's been trying to give me through this conversation? That's the point I haven't gotten? And it was a huge point. And it had to do with being tender and caring and gentle and having her back.
Right, absolutely. Because there is such a release of pressure when you're heard and you're felt and just being cradled in the arms of your lover, that whatever it is, because when you make your plans and your visions, and you know, sometimes God laughs at that when you're in alignment with what God has in store, because he may have something far greater, or there may be some challenger, an illness or something that comes up that wasn't expected. And if you can get to a place where nothing's in the way, there's nothing wrong here, what is solid and what is foundational is the roots of where you're tapped into. And that is forever. And we're committed and tapped into being in love with each other, being able to share love with people who are within our vicinity, being able to have it be a trickle-down effect because we've been able to embrace each other and be able to find friendship in each other's arms. And that comes with gentleness. That comes with kindness. That comes with respect. That comes with zero competition. There's nothing to compete. There's no place to get. There's no jockeying for position. Because everybody's special. Everybody's special in that nobody's special. There's an equality to what we all yearn for. And if we are tapped into what we yearn for, it's going to be seen everywhere. And when it comes from the most important person in your life, when you feel that love from the most important person in your life, everybody else gets that all around you. And when the most important person in your life is putting you down or criticizing or climbing on top of you, like Greg was explaining in the beginning of the radio show, you're going to do that to other people. You're going to be rude. You're going to be mean. It's another trickle-down effect. And it's like how Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. Whether you think you can love in a relationship or you think you can't, either way, you're right. And if you say this is, you know, just a pie-in-the-sky way of being, we're not speaking to you. We're speaking to the ones that are open to the possibility, because it is very visceral. It's very real. It's very palatable. And it's for those who want it.
And it does take, you know, I mean, it takes an enormous amount of faithful love, just really having faith in love. You know, let me use an analogy. If you believed in God and you put out prayers, and when you put out prayers, you literally got a package in, came to you in 2-day delivery, and it said from God on the address label. So you put out a prayer and you got this package, and it literally said, this is the answer to your prayer from the direct source, from God. And you're holding this package, you can't see what's inside. Do you know what's in that package? Do you know how those answers are, you know, I mean, look, by virtue of the fact that we struggle in relationships, we don't know the answers already. So when you open the package with expectations, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you open the package and say, okay, let me see what this is. Oh my gosh, this is an answer to my prayer. I don't know what it is. Let me listen to it. That's what it's like to sit down with your significant other and have a conversation with them where you're actually listening. Instead of, you know what, I prayed for this thing and it has to come through the back door and it's got to come on a refrigerator dolly and it better be this shape and it better be this size. It's about waiting to see how it can show up. It's you know that it's coming through your lover,
because it's a marriage issue. It's not going to come through the person you're having an affair with. It's going to come through the person that you're in loving relationship with, that you've committed to each other. And so, you know, I've gotten enormous satisfaction from actually saying, you know what, there's a point when I admit that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman. That's my stand. That's not like, you know, I've had enough relationships. I'm sure some of you have had some where you're just like, I don't want to keep doing the dating thing. Some of you are going, you know, you're just listening for how you can pick up girls on this call. And that's fine if that's where you're at. Like Tamara says, there's a lid for every pot. Just find somebody that wants to be dating, not somebody that wants to be in a committed relationship, and then go out and date them. If they want to be in a committed relationship, enter into that knowing that the two of you are heading in the same direction. And that's the triangle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the common goal we can't emphasize enough. And I love the, you know, I say this all the time because I work with a lot of executives, and I use this one phrase. Is there any force in nature more powerful than a 12-year-old that wants a bicycle? When any person has a clear vision of what they want, whether it's professionally, whether it's, you know, piece of technology or a piece of recreation or to go on a vacation or whatever it happens to be, when they're perfectly clear about that vision, it's automatically pieces start coming into place. If you don't have some vision for your marriage, don't be surprised if all of a sudden you get pulled off to the side by something exciting that comes along, by a person that's offering you a little bit of excitement. And when you have that vision, when that 12-year-old wants that bicycle, will they settle for a tricycle or a boat? No, they want their bicycle. They don't want a skateboard. It's like they're going to turn all that other stuff away. And that's how important it is in your marriage to have clarity about, here's the kind of relationship I want to have with my wife. So,
and why don't you say what that is for you? What is your vision for us?
Well, I've always wanted to be in a relationship, and I mentioned this, where there's friendship and trust. And Tamara is an amazing, and I mean, just I hold her hand. There's romance in holding her hand. We have incredible affection together. I think both of our love languages is very close to touch, and we have an amazing intimate relationship. And so there's so much of that foundation that just as a man seems like a prerequisite is completely handled between the two of us. You are an amazingly considerate woman. So for me, it's really about friendship and trust. And I constantly am saying to you, you know, I wanna grow old with you and look into your eyes and say, you know what? This is the woman that I committed to 50 years ago, and we are friends through it all. And by the way, if you don't have one, or if, you know, in your mind there's the words are like, yeah, but what do you do when? Mm-hmm. What do you do when? Pick up the phone, call 323-203-0815. Tamara and I are on the line, 323-203-0815, and say, hey, Greg, Tamara, what do you do when? And we'll do our best to help you out. What's your vision, Tamara?
Mm-hmm. I love creating divine partnership, and I've always dreamed of what we have now. And I'm so grateful that as the dance continues and we learn not to step on each other's toes, and when we do and we can laugh and stumble and fall into each other's arms and be quirky and fun and funny and playful, just knowing that we always have each other's back in a safe place to land with each other, where there is impenetrable boundaries that say, I'm with you, and I'm with you for life, and you are the love of my life, and we can continue on this planet with whatever God has in store for us. And one of the things I'm really appreciative, Greg, is that when the difficulties do come, that we can just ask to just stop and just say a prayer right there and ask for Holy Spirit to come and just say, Spirit, please come in this relationship right now, because there's things that we can't see and we're confused by. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. But in that holy instant when Spirit has an opportunity to move in the hearts of both of us, there is a deepening and there is a stronger taproot that goes in. And you know, just yesterday, I'm just so grateful that I just catch myself just thinking, oh my gosh, how much I love you. You know, and just, you know, being at an event together, being in public together, that I have always prayed and had a vision that our private life would be exactly the same as it is in public.
Right.
That if anybody saw us in private or in public, that it would be the same.
Yeah.
And the same friendship and trust.
Thank you, Tamara. And thank you for the opportunity. I love you so much also. And there's a time when I would backpedal. When Tamara got very, animated and flamboyant and was just like expressing a whole lot of love, there's a point where I would backpedal because I grew up in a schooling system and environment where there was a lot of shaming and blaming, and you had to play it safe, you had to avoid the gangs and the bullies and all that stuff. So I learned not to stick out, and so there's a part of me that's programmed to be more conservative, and yet. I love when Tamara is out there and flamboyant, and I'm just now learning to join her, and it's a stretch. And guys, if you're on the line, or if you're the more conservative of the partners in the relationship, and you're like, you're rolling, you find yourself rolling your eyes, like she's so over the top, or he's like, he's too damn colorful or animated. If that's how you feel about your partner, just know that you want to join them. You don't want them to become more conservative. Mm-hmm. You don't want to dumb this thing down. Just know that you've got issues and pray that, you'll join them. And by the way, for those of you that are agnostics and or atheists, we respect that. Just know, though, that there is a saying, there are no atheists in the foxholes. Mm-hmm. There is a point in the marriage where in life, when we are brought to our knees, and it's humbling, and humility is fantastic, by the way. I love humility. Tamara would probably disagree.
No, I just don't pray for it.
Well, I don't either. But real humility is actually, there's an amazing weight that's lifted from us when we realize that we're not totally responsible for the world working out.
Well, I'm already humbled just by being a human here on the planet. I mean, that's a humbling experience. In and of itself.
Because you're the infinite soul, of course.
Well.
You're aware of that. So being a human, But true humility actually comes with, oh, thank God I am not in charge here.
Yes.
And saying, Lord, I've done everything I can in this marriage, in this situation, and I need your help. And just stopping and saying, I don't have what it takes to get through this, to fix this. First of all, marriages can't be fixed. They're not broken. They're a dance. That's like stepping up on the dance floor and saying, okay, everybody's moving too much. Let's see if we can fix this situation because everyone's moving around. Let's get everybody, stabilized. That's not how you fix a dance. You join the dance and you work with it. And that's how relationships work out.
Yeah, that's like stopping or trying to fix the waves coming in. They're just going to be. They're just going to happen. And there's a natural flow that when you get in alignment with the wave, and there's a whole different experience to go out in the middle of the ocean, as I'm sure all of our listeners have experienced at one time or another, just standing there and feeling the crash of the wave just hit you and pummel you and beat you into the ground. And then there's also another experience with the wave where you just let go and you allow the wave to carry you in and carry you out. And you go with the flow of love or the flow of life. And that's one of my greatest challenges is the letting go and just letting God and letting spirit take me to higher planes of existence. Where it is effortless, where there's not a tremendous amount of struggle or effort. There's just getting in alignment with what God has. And when you are in alignment with that, it's far superior, I believe, than anything we could ever come up with, even in our own imagination, which I believe is exceptionally powerful. Albert Einstein says that imagination is more important than knowledge. And I believe what God has in store for all of us is so above and beyond what we ever fathom that if we can just let go and get in alignment with that, the love that's available and waiting, as you guys have heard me say before, is I don't believe you ever have to seek for love. Love is who you are. We just have to seek to remove the barriers that are in the way of us experiencing the natural flow that is just wanting to permeate and to ooze and to magnetically attract and infect with love versus a virus of disease and heartache and pain. And that's, you know, you've heard us say too, is that hurt people hurt people. So if you have not healed those wounds, the opportunity of healing your childhood wounds is in the relationship you're in right now. Use this opportunity with your lover to come together to say, honey, I see you. I'm with you. I've got your back. And with me, you're going to have a soft place to land, because whatever you're feeling, it's okay with me. Whatever you're going through, it's okay with me. I'm with you in this.
And the thing that's so important about that is that's who you want to be. Who you want to be. It's funny, you know, because we run across people that are like, I want to have a beautiful, deep, amazing relationship. And then they're playing it safe all the time, or they're criticizing or second-guessing what their spouse says. You know, practice embracing. If what Tamara is saying to you is a little rich for you, which it has been for me in the past, but now I'm like, I'm embracing. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. And when she talks about, like, removing, you know, that love is really about removing the blocks, you know, over and over and over again, we see that in a relationship, the issue that's coming up with your partner that's about you, that they're like, they got to work this out with you. Invariably, what they're asking for is you to heal yourself, is to remove a block that you have, allowing the love to flow back and forth. And so often what we're hearing is, you want more out of me. No, they actually want less. They actually want you to just take apart the rude mechanism that you have for blocking them in marriage.
Well, and it's interesting because everybody wants to be rescued. Everybody wants to be, they feel like they're just, whisked away.
Well, especially women.
Yeah,
a lot of guys want to be the rescuer.
Right.
The noble knight.
Right. And it's not from what you would expect. Women, yes, we do want to be saved, whether we say it or we don't say it. We want to be saved from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. Save yourself. You know, that's what Oprah said.
Well, and let me ask a question, though. So this could be a whole breakthrough for me. When you said, I want you to have my back, is that having your back when you are being your worst enemy? Is that really, is that part of how it feels? Or is it more like having your back to create a safe space no matter what's coming on, whether it's you, somebody else, or me? You know, because you're saying we're going to be saved from ourselves. So is that part of what that is?
It's always the internal battle.
Having your back against
yes,
you.
Yes.
Very cool.
Save me from myself.
Which guys, I got to tell you.
Enormous amount of pain. Save me.
because when Tamara has, when I've really been resisting Tamara, when she comes to me wanting to give that kind of love and showing up like, wow, I'm hearing it as some form of criticism and I'm defending myself. I have a description of Tamara. It's from the X-Men.
It's mostly about looking in a mirror.
Yes. And I see her as Storm. If you guys know that character, she can create a hurricane in the living room, right? And so I'm imagining when Tamara is frustrated with me that literally there is a hurricane standing in the living room that's about to spin me out of control. And the funniest thing is that the hardest thing for me to do, the craziest, scariest thing for me to do is the one thing that works the best, which is to button my lip and go over and wrap my arms around that hurricane and just hold her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what works best, and it is completely counterintuitive and countercognitive. And yet when I do that, I'm saving her from herself. So,
yes. And we do the same for our men.
And just in closing, we want to share two quick secrets, just magic pieces that nuggets that we've picked up through Gottman. And number one is that marriages fall apart, relationships fall apart because of one specific quality, and that is contempt. And I had to look the word up. Contempt is whenever you think you're better than the other person and you're talking down to them.
Yeah.
Anytime you think you got the right answer and they're not getting it and you need to instruct them, look out, because that contempt will destroy the relationship. And the one thing, and this is 97% success rate, they could determine 97% of the time that the marriage would survive if there was this one ingredient. And that was gentleness. Mm-hmm. That with each other, they were kind and gentle. Even in the midst of an argument, they were caring and gentle with each other.
And I'm going to encourage everybody, too, that when that frustration comes or when joy comes, give praise, give thanks, and just ask for Spirit to be that third point in the triangle to pour out a love so great you could hardly contain it, that you're overflowing with the love between you and your lover.
And my request would be that if you're having difficulty with that, then just ask. Just turn to some mentor, some person that you admire that inspires you, and just ask silently. You don't have to ask out loud. It doesn't have to be a phone call, because those typically turn into gossip and all that. So just ask, help me. Help us. Come now and bring peace into this marriage. And once you do, let go of everything that you expect and start looking at your partner like, maybe this is love. Maybe this is love that's wanting to be expressed here.
Yeah, and ride that wave. Well, we love you guys.
Yes, thank you so much for listening in. And
a big shout out to Max, and wishing him enormous love, and Ronan, and everybody who's tuned in to listening to Max and Friends. We want to thank you that every Sunday night, 8 o'clock Western time, 9 o'clock Eastern time, you can tune in to Max and Friends and get some juicy, juicy conversations inside the inner circle of Max and Friends. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Be courageous, have a great night, and a great marriage.